This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Very good afternoon to you, listeners, and welcome to our show this afternoon. This is Terry Honey, and welcome to Couples of Destiny. I'm very excited. Today is the seventh day of January 2026. It's a new year, new beginnings of everything. And this is a space where marriages are strengthened, purpose is protected, and love is built on faith. So I'm excited today because we have two amazing people, a couple that I connected with while I was on Mercy Ships, and they head up the chaplaincy over there. But we're going to get to meet them shortly. But I want to encourage you today, if you are building anything right now, whether it's your marriage, your ministry, your family, your business, anything, this episode is for you. So share it with someone that you know that is busy building whatever they are building, because we're always building something in the kingdom, right? So maybe you're feeling the pressure of building or restructuring, restarting, re-energizing, realigning. Maybe this opposition is loud, but maybe you're tired and you're wondering how to stay united without burning out. So today we're anchoring ourselves in Nehemiah 4:16, a verse that teaches us how to build with one hand and how to guard with the other hand. So I believe this is why we have been given two hands. And so from that day on, half of the men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. So here's the truth. Your purpose requires protection. And we're going to jump right into this, because vision without vigilance is a setup. We're going to go for a song break, singing Hannah Kerr, singing Same God. We'll be right back. Wow, family, welcome back. And we are live here and so excited about everything we were speaking about earlier, just reminding you about what God has for us in this time, how our purpose requires protection. And I'm joined here today for the very first time with a beautiful couple, Kara and Ryan Moore. And they have a beautiful story and a beautiful testimony. I want you to lean in, because they've learned how to build together while staying spiritually alert. And the spiritual alert thing is what I watched and I saw in their lives, just gazing upon what they are doing on Mercy Ship. So we're talking about building love while guarding purpose, Ryan and Kara, because calling is powerful. But if love leaks, purpose leaks. Right? So today, Ryan and Kara, talk to us. I know titles before anything else, before ministry, before platforms. What first drew you to each other? Not the calling. What drew you to each other? Tell the listeners and say hello.
I think Ryan and I were drawn to each other. The love of God inside of each other is really probably what stood out the most. When I was looking for a spouse, when I was looking for somebody to link with and partner with and share my life with, I saw Ryan as a mate who loved the Lord first and foremost and loved God above everything. So I think that's what drew me to him first.
Yeah. I mean, how far back do we go? yeah, she wouldn't date me for a year when we first became best friends. But that's a super long story. Part of it is that we were both in a place where we were seeking the Lord, and we were both praying to the Lord about the future and about a spouse for the future. And when the Lord brought us together as friends, right away, I thought, oh wow, this is the one. This is for sure the one. And unbeknownst to me, at the time, the Lord had put on her heart the desire to pursue him and him alone for a year and not to date at all. And so we became really good friends, and I fell in love with her, and we pursued the Lord together as best friends.
Wow,
until that vow was up. And then the thing that attracted me the most to her was I don't know, just the joy of the Lord that was in her, and her unrelenting pursuit of God, showed me exactly that she was the person that I wanted to be with. And so that was the start of our relationship. And then when we started dating, we had already been best friends for a year and a half. And so we were married only 4 months after that, I think it was, or
No, it was something like that. You know each other only a few months before you married. I love that story.
Yeah. You know, when you know.
Yeah, like that. Many couples feel the pressure, you know, to perform spiritually. And how did you learn to protect your marriage from becoming a ministry project, being where you are as chaplains?
That's a good question. I think when we first got married was 25 years ago, we thought that that's it. That's the foundation of our marriage actually is going to be ministry focused and ministry related. And it actually ties into our Mercy Ship story a little bit, because on our honeymoon, we moved to a town called Columbia, South Carolina, where there was a missions college that we had been accepted to, and we were going to go into missions college right away. And once we got there for new student orientation, through the process of new student orientation, they learned that we were newlyweds, and they had a policy for that school that once you get married, you must take a year-long break from school. And unbeknownst to us at the time, we're like, well, wait a minute, we just moved here and we're already here. We've got all of our stuff. We got a new apartment. And they're like, yeah, sorry, that's the policy. You have to be married first. You can't just, you have to take a year off of ministry. And so, we had a honeymoon year where, we spent all of our money on, hotels by the sea and good tasting fish.
Good.
And it was a wonderful year of not doing ministry and, just enjoying each other's company together.
Yeah.
And, it felt like a year long vacation. And over the course of that vacation, the Caribbean Mercy, one of the Mercy Ship's vessels at the time, which is a hospital ship that does surgery and in the poorest port towns of the world. They were on a promotional tour in the United States to, you know, develop interest. And just so happened they came into Charleston, South Carolina. And so we had the opportunity to visit in 2000 on the Caribbean Mercy, and we loved it. We thought, this is it. This is it. We'll get our education on the mission field instead of going to college right away. And so we applied there. We liked them a lot. They liked us a lot. And shortly after, Kara became pregnant. And so during the course of our application process, they said, whoa, not that kind of hospital ship. So pause your application, go have your baby, and then come back, once everything's good with your baby. And so once again, we had attempted to enter into full-time ministry, but the Lord prevented that. And in a joyous way, obviously, and a wonderful blessing sort of a way. But because I was going to have a child, I needed a proper job, which means I needed to finish my degree. And so I finished a degree in psychology and counseling and became a counselor. And through a long series of events, the Lord led us to having jobs, normal careers, having a house, having a cozy little neighborhood family life, and not being in full-time ministry. And so for that time, we had the question that was in our hearts, Lord, thank you for these blessings, but why aren't we in full-time ministry? And we had another child and another child. We had five kids all together, all spaced about 2 years apart, and we raised them in the local church. We did partner with the local churches wherever we were. And so my family was always, my kids always had their hands on something. I usually had one kid on the worship team, one kid on the technical sound system, one kid helping out in the nursery. You know, we were the first family in the door to turn the lights on and the last to lock up after a Sunday. You know, we kind of raised them with their hands in ministry, but from a auxiliary perspective, from a support perspective, which was wonderful. They all learned to be servants of the local church and supportive of our pastors and of our teaching. And it was a really wonderful way to raise kids. And then it was only after about 24 years of asking God, what should I do with my career? I was I became a counselor, a school counselor, a school administrator, just step by step in this career. But it was never the final thing. It was never the thing that said, aha, this is what I'm called to do, or this is what the Lord has really placed on my heart. It was always, this is what the Lord's provided for now. This is what the Lord has guided me to for right now. And I always had a peace. And so my philosophy just kind of became that the Lord guides us step by step and almost never shows me 2 steps beyond my vision. He shows me what the very next step is going to be. And I say yes and amen. And he always provides abundantly and with blessing in that step. But rarely did I ever see past that one step. And then finally, with my 3 adult boys now being launched into the world, and student loan debts were taken care of. Those they were no more. Things were well secured with my job. It just became really apparent to Kara and I after COVID that now would be a really good time. And so we took a look around. We prayed about it, and then I started looking again at the Mercy Ships website, and I asked her to pray about, hey, if we do enter into full-time ministry, would we be interested in pastoral work? Would we be interested in missionary work? What would you be interested in? After praying about it, she came to me and she said, I think we need to consider Mercy Ships again. And I swiveled my computer monitor around to show her that I was at that moment actually looking at the application process for Mercy Ships. And so that was the Lord was kind of speaking the same thing to us both at the same time.
I like that. I know, because when she Kara first shared that with me, I thought, well, you both had the same vision, you had the same desire, the same dream to go forward. And what a wonderful way to protect your marriage, to protect your relationship. It's not a project, it became your life. It is part of who you are. We're going to have a short song break with Shane. Shanae, I don't know how to pronounce it, was Shane, and she sings, or he sings, we're going to hear if it's a he or she, Brand New Heart. It's a new song. I don't know this vocalist, but let's listen to the song. We'll be coming back with Ryan and Karen.
You're listening to Cape Pulpit, 729 AM. 729 AM.
Wow, what a wonderful story and testimony there, Ryan. Really blessed. I love these stories. And always, people always think about, oh, where you're at right now. But they don't always ask about where you come from. How did it start? So I like the starting blocks. And it's always nice to start from there. I was speaking about Christmas Day, about how colds are nothing. They can't have a flame without being ignited when they're taken away from the group. So don't isolate yourself. Stay in that group so you can stay ignited and stay on fire. So you can't build purpose on emotional neglect. And what you have shared with us there was really beautiful. You didn't neglect your family. You built a family, 5 kids over that period of time. Did you say over the 25 years you had 5 children?
And the lessons that I learned as a father became the lessons that I needed as a pastor. It became the education that I needed as a pastor. And that was God's way of preparing me,
You're
for
right,
sure.
right. Love needs more intention when purpose gets louder. I always say, is this a true or false question to everyone? But maybe Kara can answer this for us. What is the one habit, Karen, that you can share with our listeners today that kept your friendship and your relationship strong? Irrespective whether storms came, disagreements, all these things come. What can you share with our listeners today? You as a couple working on Mercy Ships, coming out of that long life, beautiful life and transition from South Carolina onto a lifeboat, you want to call it?
Yeah, I would say what really stands out is I try to always see the best in my husband. Our human nature tends to lean towards getting our own way, and I'm right and he must be wrong. And so then we automatically think of each other as enemies, just naturally. And so to combat that, it's like I have to decide in my heart that his intentions for me are good, his intentions for me are great and for our family, and believe that, see his strengths and work on his, like, believe and build on his strengths instead of his weaknesses. And yeah, I think
Yeah. That's beautiful, because we all have our niche. We all have our way of staying connected, you know, and with God in the center. I used this analogy the other day as well about how you take this one string of wool and you pull it, it will break easily. You twist it in two, they cannot break that easily. It's a bit stronger. But when there's a third cord and you plait, you know, make it like a third cord plait, the three together, that is going to be unbreakable. You're going to have to use a whole huge army to get that to break. But many couples are called and not always aligned in this thing. And I know that we want to talk about guarding purpose together. And I heard that, Ryan, you were actually ministering on this on Sunday at Mercy Ships. What a coincidence. Not a coincidence. I think it's God's divine time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we were looking at Zerubbabel from the book of Ezra, right? So Ezra, the book of Ezra talks about three main characters, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel. And he was the first back of the exiles. And he was called to return from Babylon, and the Lord put on his heart to rebuild the foundation of the temple and reinstitute the worship of God. And you know, when the Lord called him to do that, he didn't hesitate, he didn't second doubt and guess it, he just gave himself to that purpose. And when he did that, he received some support, and he received a whole lot of negative feedback, to the point where even when he began the work of rebuilding the foundations of the temple, a lot of the people that were excited to do it with him were cheering. But the old timers, the ones that remembered the glory of the old temple, they cried, they wept with a loud voice, as loud as the cheering, because they knew that whatever Zerubbabel was building would never be as glorious as they had hoped it would be again, as the original Solomon's temple. And so he experienced his elders crying about how poor his work would be. And you think about that, and then you think about that the local people did not like it. The local people did not like that the temple was going to be rebuilt, because they had already moved on in life, and they were already doing other things, and they were already, you know, they had already found other gods and other ways to worship, and they knew they weren't going to have a place in this worship of God alone, and so they hated it, and so they tried all sorts of ways to confuse their work. The Bible says they even bribed local officials to discourage the work. Can you imagine? You have a work project that you're trying to build for your church, and you have neighbors that are bribing the contractors to say, hey, why don't you lose that load of bricks? Why don't you let that shipment just disappear? Why don't you make sure that these day workers don't show up for the job? And they're paying people to not show up. How discouraging would that be? And but what we find in that book is that the Lord sustained him. And one of the ways the Lord sustained him was giving him two prophets, was sending two prophets his way to provide him with encouragement. And I just found that to be wonderful, that when we engage in what the Lord wants us to do, he sends strength our way, and he sends encouragement our way. And and we have to listen to that encouragement more than the discouragement.
Yeah, I think that when we have a purpose God's called us to, and we know that God's called us to something, like we knew we were called to ministry, but along the way, we had all kinds of things that got in the way. And we thought, well, Lord, is that what you're calling us to? God, are you really, truly still calling us to Mercy Ships? Are you truly calling us to mission work? Then why would this happen? Why would that happen? And we just had to say, God, we know that this is the plan that you have for our heart and our life. And we just kept working on our marriage and kept doing what God's called us to. We stayed faithful in the things that were in front of us. We kept our hand to the plow and thought, let's just keep moving forward with what God's called us to. God will work the end goal out.
That's it.
We'd stay faithful in the meantime.
Stay faithful to the little things, and he sustains us without losing the vision, without knowing who we're working for, without forgetting that we're working towards his pleasure and that he's got a real purpose in it.
So when the attacks come, it's like, well, you know what? God's going to take care of us, because we know this is what he's called us to. So we did all we could to protect our marriage. If we thought, if we don't protect our marriage, then what's the foundation? If we don't stay close to the Lord during this, then our foundation will crumble. But if we stay close to God, we stay close to each other and the things that he's called us to, the rest will work out. And we waited for 24 years to see this mission happen and for this purpose to be accomplished. And not saying the other things weren't important, but it's patience.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's patience and staying faithful.
You brought up a good point, though, about foundation, is that first and foremost, our faithfulness was to the Lord as individuals. And then secondly, our faithfulness was to each other. And then thirdly, our faithfulness was to our kids and then the ministry. And it had to be in that order. You can never let the ministry get above your primary ministry that God has called you to, of ministering to your spouse.
That's
the primary ministry. Actually, no, the primary ministry is ministering to the Lord himself.
Correct.
Right? And then we learn from that on how to love one another as a spouse. And then we learn from that on how to do well with other people and to raise a family. And then we learn how to serve the church. Yes. And it all flows from that. It's got to be in that order.
Absolutely. There's no other way. I think that is God's order. And when we have that right, things will happen beautifully. And we are able to connect in on levels that no other can, you know, if they don't have God in the center of their focus. You know, serving with Mercy Ships, I know, means a lot of intense schedules and emotional weight. I've been there for the time that I've been there. I just picked it all up in the atmosphere. I'm like, I really saw Ryan. Ben Carver's over here and Ryan's over here. And it was like, oh my goodness, you know. I see you guys are sitting in your little office over there in your little I was trying to see whether are you
Pastor
in
Terry.
Your sorry.
Oh, I was saying, Pastor Terry, you know, it's all because of the equipping. All these things were the equipping that happened as we went through all of these different stages of 24 years. It was equipping for what he had for
Correct.
Us here.
Correct. So it was
preparation.
And as I said, was that emotional weight? You both carried it. It's your intense schedules you have on the ship now. You continue to have to build, you know, building with purpose, being watchful and mindful, you know. And I mean,
if we would have came here 24 years ago, we would not have been ready for the spiritual warfare that happens.
I can imagine. We're going to break for a song. Listen to Sean Butler. And the song is Praise Him Higher Than the Highest Mountain.
The Spiritual Pulse of the Cape, wherever you are. Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. From the Word to your heart.
Wow, that was so beautiful. I love that, as you shared that there, Kara. I think you shouldn't just reiterate that again and empower the people with that particular part about the preparation. You know, we don't always prepare well. And I think for couples to prepare for ministry, for life, you know, it's a journey. And it's not just something you jump into. Every marriage, every relationship, everything we do in life, we don't just get it and run with it. We have to grow in it. We prepare, grow, learn as we go. So I know you've probably had to set a lot of boundaries in your life, in your ministry, to protect your privacy, to protect your marriage, protect your children. Tell us about the children's involvement. You know, I was actually going to read a little bit of your bio, which I thought was so amazing. Let me just share with the listeners a little bit about you. It says that, let me just tell you, listeners, I don't know what you know about Mercy Ships, but Brian and Ryan and Kara will share a little bit about that with us in a moment. But they are married, as you know. They serve on the mission crew with Mercy Ships. It's a global faith-based nonprofit that operates on hospital ships. It's a hospital ship providing free surgeries and healthcare in places with limited access and medical care. And they follow the mission of bringing hope and healing to the forgotten and poor, especially along the African coast. And Ryan and Kara have been married and ministry partners for 25 years, as you've heard. Together, they've provided local churches and marriages. And Ryan shared a lot about that in the introduction. But they've had the blessing together to raise 5 children who are currently serving with them, as you heard. How many of them are still with you on Mercy Ships? And what are they doing?
Serving with us, it's been such a blessing to see them grow in their own faith and in their own ministry. Our daughters attend the academy. We've got a full school, high school, junior high, and elementary school on board with teachers and everything. And it's a Christian-based academy. And they attend school here. Our oldest, she's in her very last year of high school, but she's also dual enrolled through the colleges back at home. So she's got half college courses, half high school courses. And our other daughter's chugging right along in high school. But both of them join us in a bunch of the different ministry projects that we have going on. They both join me in the YWAM Mercy Ships ministry that's teaching English, but also sharing Jesus with the locals who come who are in Madagascar. So it's really cool. We get to share Jesus. And I've seen my girls step out in leading Bible studies with the kids, other kids on ships. The girls are just really thriving and growing in their own way and in their own relationship with God.
Our three adult boys are back home, and they're making us proud, both in the workforce and in the church and in the schools that they're attending. And so they're all adults now, and just pursuing different careers and making us really proud.
Yeah, that's real. I can see the proud mom and dad. I'm missing them too.
Yeah.
You said, are you not going home? Very much so. You're not going home to visit this year? In the new year?
We'll be going home in the summer because in the summer, Evangeline graduates from high school and we'll be transitioning her to a university back in the States.
Oh, right.
And so at the end of this summer, we'll only have one left out of the five with us.
Oh, wow.
So and I'll have four adults.
That's going to be hard. Oh, look at Kara. I can just imagine her almost coming close to the empty nest syndrome. Listeners, if you can see on Facebook what this couple looks like, you can tell me, do they look like a couple that has five children and are doing what they are doing? I believe, you know, when people look at me and say, Terry, I cannot believe your age. I cannot believe it. You're doing what you're doing. I said, you know what? That's the glory of God. You know, when we flow,
that's a blessing.
That's really a blessing. You know, I always say that purpose without presence, even in a relationship with anything or anyone, creates distance, you know. And when we're in God's presence, you know, when we're fighting this fight of faith, when we are standing and doing everything we can for God with your task on Mercy Ships, I know that a lot of people are actually asking, what is Mercy Ships? What is it about? I don't know. You listeners out there may not know. So I'm going to ask Ryan and Karen just to briefly share their role and what Mercy Ships really does and where they are at. I only met them in Madagascar when they were there, when they were docking out there, and Free For All. I just know, not Free For All, but I mean, it's in a journey that anyone can embark on if they have the passion for God in doing what they do.
Yeah, Mercy Ships is a hospital-based ship that goes from port to port around Africa specifically right now. We've got two different ships. The one is located right now currently in Sierra Leone, and the Africa Mercy just left Madagascar. We're in Durban, South Africa right now. What we do is we bring hope and healing, like you said, to the world's forgotten poor, and by means of surgical care. So in areas where there's no surgical care available, we provide free surgery with no strings attached. We just provide the surgery, and we also, while we're ministering to them, we share the love of Jesus with each and every individual that walks onto the ship. And it's such a unique opportunity because we are able to sometimes spend long periods of time. Surgery, we see them from the very beginning, pre-surgery until post-surgery and through recovery. Mm-hmm. So we spend sometimes lots of chunks of time with the individuals and are able to just share the love of Jesus through mm-hmm. our actions to all of the patients who come on board.
Yeah, and we do a lot of community building with building up of local skill, helping build local infrastructure, training of local nurses and doctors, partnering with them in what we do so they can gain experience and practice on board with us. And when we leave medical facilities intact with local practitioners activated. And so not only are we teaching about Jesus, but we're helping build the local medical infrastructure. And we're also partnering with pastors. We partner with a lot of local pastors and a lot of local ministries so that while we're interfacing with the medical community, we're also engaging the local community, trying to breathe strength and life into local churches by saying, hey, local church, what projects are you working on? And would you like a bunch of foreigners to jump into the work and kind of just add strength to whatever you're doing? And so we also have a lot of local ministry partners. And when local churches do outreaches and invite us, we'll jump in and we'll partner with those local outreaches. And we do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Our team, I have just accepted the senior chaplain position for Next Field Service. And the chaplains, we minister, the crew chaplains minister to all the crew on board, the doctors and you know, all the engineers and everything mm-hmm. like that. We have a hospital chaplaincy team as well, and those minister just to the patients and the families of the patients. And then we have our church engagement team, which is the ones that we had mentioned, the YWAM partnerships, the local church partnerships, and that, and that's specifically designed to help all of our crew engage with the local church. So even though people come and they volunteer to do this thing of whatever their job skill is, be it engineering or you know, medical, they're also spending their free time interacting with local churches and ministers. And that's so fun to do.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing.
Wow. Being in Durban, listen, Cape Town also has a dock here. Hey, we also have a harbor.
Hey.
Why did you didn't come here, you know? So anyone in Durban, if you need support and help for anyone on Mercy ships, I mean, this is your moment. I wouldn't miss this moment.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. If you could speak to your younger married selves, Ryan and Karen, what would you say?
I would tell myself, stay the course. Just believe that what God's placed in your heart will come to pass. I'll tell you, for in the past 24 years, there were times where I'm like, God, have you forgotten about what you've called me to in beyond just family? Because I was very satisfied as a mother and as raising my children and investing in my marriage, but I knew that God also had something in the future. And I thought, God, did you forget about that, Lord? And I would say to myself, stay the course, stay faithful, get as much experience in different areas as you can, and God will bless the end result.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I would say to my younger self, minister to the Lord, minister to your wife. The two of you are going to feel like being in your flesh very often. And when you're in a conflict, the first person to give up your flesh and to be in the spirit, and to the first person to be gentle, the first person to be kind, the first person to be forgiving, self-sacrificial, that's the person who wins the conflict. I'd say that. And then I'd say stay the course for whatever the Lord puts your hand on. He hasn't mm-hmm. forgotten about you. He's developing skill in you. Mm-hmm. He's developing his calling in you. And at the opportune time, he's going to launch you and release you.
Amen.
And, you know, I took an entire, I had an entire career in mental health and in public education, which now I have completely stepped aside from and in full-time ministry. And finally, I feel like I know what I want to be when I grow up.
That's
finally,
amazing.
I feel like,
wow,
I feel
that's
like
amazing.
I found my dream job.
Wow,
know?
That's yeah. really good. That's really powerful. So, guys, we're going to quickly listen to Jessica De La Torre singing Into Your Heart. Wow, listeners out there, I cannot tell you, on this seventh day of January, I'm so blessed to be hearing and listening and rekindling and just reconnecting again with Ryan and Kara. Ryan, Kara, we've come to that time of the day where I don't like to say so long. But Ryan, is there anything that you'd still like to share with the listeners today? We know, we always say that keeping your love alive, you know, just, I love that what you guys said about your younger selves, what you say to your younger selves, protecting what you have and just guarding, preparing and everything. How can we bless the listeners today with what you can share at the end?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the thing that's been on my heart a lot lately is just that every challenge, every difficulty, every trial, it's all preparation. It's all, let it draw you to the Lord. Let it draw you closer to the Lord, because he's doing something with you in it. He's providing you with an opportunity for growth, with an opportunity for development, with an opportunity for learning, and an opportunity for closeness with him. And he wants to sit with you in that. So yeah, that's my final encouragement. Why is my life not going in the direction I want? Why is this challenge popping? Why is this wall blocking the thing that I thought I wanted? Sit with the Lord. Look at that thing with the Lord. Observe that with the Lord and ponder it with the Lord, because the Lord's doing a thing.
Well, do you want to close in prayer for us and pray for the listeners out there today?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Please.
Holy and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for calling us to be your children and calling us to be your co-workers and calling us to be your friends. What a privilege, God. And we thank you for the blood of your Son that gets to that allows us to be redeemed and allows us to have that relationship. Mm-hmm. And for any of our listeners who are unsure of what that is, Father, God, we just say thank you and we lay our lives down for you. We thank you for taking the sin and the destruction of our sin that separates us from you. We thank you for taking that on the shoulders of Jesus with the blood of Jesus. And we pray that over all of our listeners, God, that they would have the ability to hear about the blood of Jesus to restore the relationship with you, God. We confess our sins and we place our life in your hands. And we say yes and amen to the plans that you have for us. Your scripture says that your plans are good for us. Your thoughts are kind to us. And we say yes and amen to the things that you're doing in our lives, God. Even when we don't understand, even when it looks like things are not going correctly, things are going wrong, we know that you're still good and that you still desire to guide us and that you still are working out your plans and purposes in our lives. And so even when we don't understand, we say yes and amen.
Amen.
We say, have your way, have your will in the name of Jesus.
Amen. His word, his way, and his purpose. Amen. Well, family, may your love be deep, your purpose be aligned, your marriage be protected from burnout. May you serve God without losing each other. This is Terry Honey from Couples of Destiny. Until next week, Ryan and Kara, thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to seeing you. You're welcome.
Praise
Have
God.
A lovely day.
Yes.
Praise God. Bye.
Bless you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.